Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. I'm Bill Sturgeon. Going to be with you for about 55, 58 minutes. Today, I'm really humbled and honored. And we've been friends for a long time. But there's something special about what's transpiring in my friend Smitty Pignatelli's life. He's leaving the House of Representatives after 28, 26. He'll tell you. He knows better. I don't remember where I parked the car. How does he expect me to remember how many years he... But he's always been there for us, all of us. Even though we weren't in his district, they came together and they had a unified front. He's a senior, very respected member of the House. And he's got a lot of things done for the Berkshires, Lenox, but all of Berkshire, Western Mass, actually. And his name, and I told you, Smitty Pignatelli, he's there right now. I got all dressed up. Smitty, this is bittersweet, baby.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, as each day that goes by, you get a little bit more melancholy. I mean, had our last formal session day on July 31st. Which actually spilled over to August 1st. We had a marathon session, but it was, you know, taking some of my last official votes, reflecting back on 22 years at the legislature and 40 years in elected office, the friendships that we've built and the people that we've lost. It was a little bittersweet, but, you know, on the same token, I was telling a friend of mine this morning that, you know, I have no second thoughts. I have no regrets. I feel very comfortable. You know, when we get close to the end, my last day is actually going to be New Year's Day of 2025. Wow. I think it's maybe going to be a little more emotional for me than it is, but it's not a sad day. It's not a sad day. I'm very proud of the work we've done. And I always reflect on a message that Steve Grossman, our former state treasurer, left me that said, "It's sorry to see you leave. You've done a great job. You're leaving on top of your game, but you're smart. You're smart to leave when people want more of you. Than staying too long when people want less of you." So I say this tongue in cheek that it'll be nice to be missed, but yeah. On the same token, I feel that I've seen colleagues in the legislature that have stayed there too long. I'm one of those guys that I don't want to die in office. Right. I want to walk out the front door, not be carried out the back door. So I feel very comfortable, and I think at the stage of my life where I want a little bit more flexibility with my schedule, and I think I'm leaving behind some good representation for a long time, and it's time for the new chapter for someone else.
The other thing that you bring to the table, and you always have, and some people were offended, you know, you should see some of the emails I get, but you always were transparent. I know everybody uses that word today. I hate it. But you were transparent when people weren't using it. Yeah. You were always a straight shooter. You were always on top of what you were supposed to be on top of. And you always had, and I like to tribute your mom and dad for, you always had time for anybody.
Yeah. I think that's what's really important. And, you know, in my 40 year elected career, I've never intended to upset or alienate anybody.
Right.
But I wasn't afraid to, by speaking my mind and giving my opinion. You may not have liked what I had to say,
right,
but it's what I believed was true. And I gave you an opportunity to change my mind. I think that's how we have productive conversations and dialogue. Yes. Too many people today are just worried about, you know, the next election. I was never worried about the next election. And you've heard me say this a million times.
A million times.
Do your job every day. The next election takes care of itself. Yep. And I truly believe that in my heart. And that means you have to speak up and don't be afraid. I think we're elected to do a job and people need to know where you stand.
Right.
And all you got to do is ask me. And I think that's the problem that we're facing in politics today. It's just like everything's a soundbite that we have to deal with. And I've never been a soundbite guy. It's just doing what I think is best.
You know, and that's I attribute that what you just said with Congressman Neal also. If I end the show tomorrow, one of the things that I will hold near and dear to my heart was she said, I like coming on your show because it's a conversation, not a snippet.
That's right.
And coming from Congressman Neal and you, I mean, that's why I started this. I started it many years ago because there was just this downing of Berkshire County and Pittsfield. And you know, I've lived all over the world. I can show you some real, you want to see some real slums? I can show you real slums. But I just think when you, it's a shame that one of the universities or one of the colleges really doesn't pick you up to teach a course on politician. No, I mean that. I mean, we see it, Smitty, we see it every day on television. They say what they think you want to hear.
Yeah, and I that's not been who I am.
Not Smitty.
I go back to my very first campaign for state representative, and I did radio spots that I was saying, I'm a public servant, not a politician. And right. I think I've held true to that for my entire career. And probably the thing that I'm most proud of as I reflect back on 40 years, if you talk to colleagues that I served with on the planning board or the board of selectmen, I think they would tell you exactly how I am today as well, that I can go toe to toe with you on a debate, on a dialogue or a conversation. And then when that debate is over, it's like a light switch. It's over. We're on to the next topic. So I strongly disagree with you on that issue, Bill. But on the next topic, I'm locking arms with you because we're moving forward. I think that's what the people who I think could consistently say that Smitty is the same today as he was 40 years ago. He'll give us his opinion. He'll fight tooth and nail for it. But when the vote is over, it's time to move on. And we don't see that in politics anymore today.
No. No, years and years and years ago, I was doing a film. Excuse me. And I happened to be in the green room with Walter Payton.
Oh, wow.
And it's somewhere, I think I gave it to my son. Sent it to me, a piece of turf with a glass in it, a shot, you know, not a shot glass, but a drink glass, that he gave to people. And I said to him, you know, you retired. That really was disappointing because I could watch you run from now until the end of the time. And he said what you just said. He said, yes, I wanted to go out on the crest of the wave, not the end of the wave.
Yeah.
And then he mentioned a couple of people that he played pro football, who he said had to be walked off the field. He said, I never wanted that. Yeah. Little did he know he would get diagnosed and be dead within a few years. But but I think what the former treasurer and you said on the program here just now, I think it's true. It's better to go when you're at the crest of the wave.
Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to do. I mean, people, I'm sure those people are happy to see me leave. But I think overall, I think we've done good work. And I, as you know, Bill, I'm a wee guy. I think politics today has become more self-service than it is public service. It's more about me than it is we. I always lead with we. The only time I use the word I is if I make a mistake. Screwed up. I made a mistake. We succeeded. That's how I've led. I've tried to be a mentor to my staff over the last 22 years in the legislature, to be a team player. And I think we're better off if we approach it in that regard.
There's no question about it. And just look at some of the kiddos that have worked for you coming up. Look at them today.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all over.
Every one of them. I'm so proud. I feel like a proud father that every one of my kids have gone up. Bigger and better things. And the thing that I love the most is that every holiday season we all get together. And it's from my very first staffer to my current staff, the family has grown, they've gotten married, they've had children, but we all get together, what we call Smitness. And it's just a dinner, it's a party, it's an update on what you've been doing, and they actually look forward to it. And I think the camaraderie and the friendships that have been built with these people, I can just step back and just watch them and just be very proud of what they've accomplished so far.
And you should be, because every one of them, and You know, I call around the different offices, and your office was always a delight to call. The people were always helpful. That's not always the case. And why do you want to talk to them? Well, an interview. What are the questions? Oh, I said I never give out the questions.
Yeah,
gotta give us the questions.
Yeah.
In your time in the legislature, what's been the most rewarding?
You know, I learned at an early age. I went to work for my dad in summers when I was 11 years old, when he was a selectman in Lenox and a county commissioner at the same time. And I saw the joy that my father got with just being in a position to help other people.
Yeah.
And I realized at a very early age that giving back to your community is something I really would want to do. And I saw the pleasure my father got out of it. Never, never had aspirations to be a state representative, but knew I wanted to do something to help my community. So I think the greatest joy I have is some of the things that don't make the headlines. And I used to get frustrated with my father when I was younger. And I would say, Dad, why are you letting so-and-so take credit for things that we all know that you did? And he said, if that person might need the headline more than I do, but at the end of the day, I know what I did.
Right.
And the people that I helped know what I did. I'm okay. I sleep very well at night. So as I get older and my time in elected office is coming to an end, I've turned into my father. And I'm proud of that, that other people, they want to take credit for things, that's fine. But at the end of the day, and you're going to see this in a couple of weeks, Bill, the response and the reception that I've been getting since my announcement has been, that's what's touched me personally.
Yeah.
That, you know what, I kind of forgot I did that a few years ago, but you never forgot.
Yeah.
And I think that's the impact that I think we've made. And that's the impact that honest, transparent, hardworking public officials can do. The impact you can make on your daily life is what has really been important to me. I've not been one of the smartest guys to solve the world's problems, although I've been proud to participate in some very historic pieces of legislation that not only for Massachusetts, but for the country. But at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, it's going to be, what did I do for Bill Sturgeon personally that nobody else needs to know? That's the joy that I get out of this job.
And I will tell you, he's always been there for us and for people that I've asked for them. I know where your head's at. I went through this many years back when I was forced to retire because of heart. They thought I had one. I tried to help. Come on. You've known me for 40 years. You think I got a heart? What's wrong with you? But I think it's self-fulfillment, not self-aggrandizement, but self-fulfillment. Yes, I did this for this person. Yes, I helped it. I got this guy promoted. I got this girl promoted. Or I helped them get promoted. I gave them, pathways and how to, and it, that's what counts. I'm in the final chapters of my life, and you get to be an old man. Don't you? Not you. You're not an old man, but when you get to be my age, you look around. I got stuff on the wall, citations. It's the people behind them.
That's right.
I got a citation. Thank you. I appreciate that. But I got it for doing something for people.
You know what I value more than another plaque? I value the personal handwritten thank you notes.
Yeah.
And I have boxes of them over my career. And I started this many years ago. And, I'm still going through boxes that my father had accumulated and letters and acknowledgments that, oh, I didn't know Dad did that.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. But those are personal. And I try to tell young people all the time, I love to go into the schools and talk about public service and whatnot. I said, when you put pen to paper and you write a note card and you have to address an envelope and put a stamp on it and walk to the mailbox and mail it, that's a commitment. That's easier than a text message. No, excuse me, it's harder than a text message or an email, but it's appreciated greatly.
Nobody
prints out a text message saying, hey, great job, Bill, congratulations. But you know what? I personally have saved thank you notes that have been written to me. I think that's the value. So, you know, someday when I'm gone, I hope that my children will look through this box and say, oh, my God, Dad did some pretty cool stuff. I didn't realize the impact he had on people. And that's more valuable and powerful than another plaque or a citation on the wall in my mind.
Yeah. And a phone call. I still get phone calls Christmas afternoon.
Mm.
From South Africa, from people I worked with in South Africa.
Oh, wow.
And two of them have gone. They've passed. Mm. But the ones that are left, they still call. It's only, hey, how you doing? You know, I'm trying to put together another Zoom. I did a Zoom interview about 3 or 4 years ago with some of the folks from there. Those are the things. They mean a lot. You're exactly. I got a call the other day from a guy, and he just wanted to tell me that he went to a course that I taught at the National Academy. And he said, I just wanted to let you know I'm retiring at the end of the month, and I'm retiring as deputy commissioner.
Wow.
And he, you're right. Somehow, Smitty, that has to get back into public service.
I do. And I there's times I feel that, because of the way politics has turned today, even locally, to be very honest with you, it's disheartening. And there's times that, you know, I'm not calling me leaving office a retirement. I think that makes me feel old. I'm calling it a pivot. And I think, you know, about civic engagement, you know, you don't have to be in elected office to serve your community. And I think that's the one thing that I'm really going to be trying to drive home, that get involved. You don't have to have your name on the ballot to make a difference in people's lives. So getting involved and understanding what the community needs are, you don't have to look too far. To see the needs that are out there. And I think young people have an opportunity to reshape it. But you know what? I keep holding up this iPhone. These things have dumbed us down in many ways. It's instant gratification. Democracy and government, it doesn't work that quickly. It's a very slow, deliberative, sometimes painful process.
Oh, yeah.
But it's intended to be that way. So it's a marathon, not a sprint. And young people, I think they don't have the patience sometimes, but they are the difference makers for the next generation. And I think if they get involved early on, it's going to become habitual. And I think we're going to start some things possibly, positively change if younger people get more engaged than they have been lately.
I agree 100%. And for those people who are listening to the show or watching it, and you're thinking about it, let me just give you I highly recommend. I've read this book probably 3 times, 4 times. It's called Man of the House by Tip O'Neill. And that book, if you're interested in becoming an elected official, a public servant, you need to read that book. Because that book is like the gospel of how to be a good politician, in my opinion.
Yeah, and a smaller version of that book is the All Politics is Local by Tip O'Neill.
Yeah.
You know, that's it.
Yeah.
You could probably read that in one night. That was a personal connection. You know, today it's about how quickly I can get something on Facebook or Twitter or X, I guess, or Instagram. But making a personal connection with people is far more effective than some social media post. All Politics is Local is where we need to go back to, you know.
Right.
And not just the e-blast or the, you know, the social media post that people, Bill Sturgeon saw it. I don't need to call him, you know,
right.
call people, you know, and knock on their door and see how they're doing. But be genuine when you ask them how they're doing. You know, don't just say, hey, how are you? No, ask how are you doing, and be interested in how they're doing, and not just be a phrase that people use all the time.
One of the things, and we'll move on, but one of the things that I always tell young politicians or people running for offices, The great Tip O'Neill bumped into somebody at one of his very first elections, Mrs. Murphy or
Yeah.
whatever, O'Reilly. And she said, well, I'm sorry you lost, but I didn't vote for you. And it kind of shocked him. He said, well, why? He said, you didn't ask me to.
That's right. You never asked.
You never asked.
Yeah, you have to
And
ask.
I tell people, you don't think that's important? That is crucial.
Yeah.
I've seen you do it. I've seen, think of the old days when the GE was booming and I worked at Beloit Corporation at 6:30 in the morning. Who's there? Teddy Kennedy,
Yeah.
shaking hands. I'm old enough to remember Jack Kennedy coming to Pittsfield.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we all went because we went to St. Charles School, and the nun said, you better go there.
Yeah. The work in
But
the gates and the shift changes was
yeah.
that's how you campaign. But you saw people, you shook their hand, you looked them in the eye, and I didn't look at you on a social media post on my computer. It
Right.
was a face conversation. And those days are gone,
Yeah.
unfortunately. But I still think you can ask, try to make it as personal as you can and make it local.
Get out. Meet
You
people.
know?
Go to the
Yeah.
shopping center. Go to the Big Y. Go to Price Chopper. I mean, be out and amongst the people. Yeah, it's a lost. It's a lost art, and it is an art. It
Yeah.
is an art,
Yeah.
and I believe
No.
it's a calling. You've been in it a long time. You could have. You're an electrician by trade. You probably could have made a lot more money.
No.
But it was a, it's a calling for
I
to stay in it, not to be a flash in the pan, or excuse me. I won't get into the specifics, but we just went through some issues here in Pittsfield, and I thought back of my saintly Irish mother when she say, well, he's nothing but a gadfly, because he, just jumping.
Yeah. Well, I tell young people all the time, we all like to make money. We all need to pay our bills, but I tell them, don't ever chase a job for the money. Chase it for the passion of the work.
Right.
The
Exactly. Wonderful.
reward comes later. The
Yeah.
reward sometimes is money. Sometimes it's the thank you note. Sometimes it's the feeling when you go home at night saying, man, I can't wait to go back tomorrow because I had a great day.
Yeah.
So, it's too many times we're driven by money. You're right. I mean, my brother, God bless him, he works hard.
Oh,
You
yeah.
know, he's carried on the business my dad started in the 50s. He's making a heck of a lot more money than I am, but I'm good with that. I'm happy that
Yeah.
he's happy, and he's one of the most generous people that I've ever known in
Oh.
my life. What he gives back is special, but you know what? I feel very satisfied, and I think he's proud of me of what I've been able to accomplish. But we're not
Yeah.
comparing W-2 forms. We
Yeah.
don't care about that. It's about the work that we're doing. At the end of the day, how you feeling about it?
Yeah, and to go back, I think we need to give credit where credit's due. Your mom and dad raised one great group of kids. And I know y'all, you're not kids anymore, but well, you are kids. To me, you're a kid. But so 4/5 of the world. What's been the most challenging other than the drive? I
Yeah.
gotta tell you that I had to come home the other day from Boston. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not getting better.
No, it's getting worse. I mean, the drive has been, I've kind of calculated that I put over 1 million miles on my car in the last 22 years. I don't think I've had anything that's been challenging that I didn't feel I could overcome. I think my level of frustration is maybe taking a more of a front seat with how slow the process is. And even during the session, we ended on 9:30 on August 1st after a marathon overnight session. But the point is, we got a lot of stuff done, but there's a lot of stuff we didn't get done. And that's the frustrating part, because those are things that are important, not only for my district or the Berkshires, but to for people's lives all throughout the Commonwealth.
Yeah.
In many ways, we failed to deliver. At the end of the day, we couldn't agree with the House couldn't agree with the Senate. That's frustrating. I mean, it's predominantly Democratic in the legislature. I mean, overwhelmingly, not predominantly,
Yeah.
overwhelmingly in the House and the Senate. but we couldn't find a path to the finish line together as Democrats. That's the frustrating part. So I don't think I've been disappointed with anything. I've been frustrated, maybe disappointed that some things didn't get done, but frustrated that we couldn't get things done in a timely way. But you live to fight another day. And, it's a loaf half baked, you know, half a loaf is better than none. And I like to look at the things that we did accomplish more so than the things that we didn't get accomplished, because there's a lot of good things that we should all be very proud of in the Berkshires of what the delegation did.
Yeah.
To bring the bacon home. And I think there's some amazing opportunities if the Berkshire communities get themselves organized and develop plans, then come to the state and state's going to write you a check. We're not going to fund ideas or concepts anymore. We're going to fund products. I was talking to a developer down east the other day. He got a nice chunk of change from the state 3 years ago. Still hasn't broken ground. Well, that was foolish. We're gonna fund products that can say, hey, Bill, if I give you X amount of dollars, right, when can you be ready? I want you to say to me, we can have it out to bid next month. We can be breaking ground within 2 months.
Yeah.
Not having Bill Sturgeon come to me 3 years later. Can we extend it because we're still not ready yet? That's foolish, and it's poor use of fair dollars. So we're going to hold you more accountable. So, you know, maybe towns and cities and organizations need to spend some upfront money for the plan, get it ready and approved, and then come to us for the final product. And I think we can do that.
Well, when I had a real job, what I always found was the most difficult is the execution of the plan.
Right.
And the thing is, when you're developing, and I tell people this all the time, when you're developing the plan, be developing how you're going to execute it. I've seen 1,000, you have too, 1,000 plans on paper. They read like a fine textbook, but then you have to translate it to actual. Sure. And it just raises all kinds of issues that you should have. You know, I worked for a boss that he taught me how not to treat people. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was nasty. The Polish princess will tell you. But what I did learn from him, several things. One, that look at what you're doing. Is it solving the problem today? What will be the problem 6 months from now or 2 years? Did that accomplish? The other thing was he taught me how not to treat people who work for you.
Right.
He wasn't a pleasant person. I hated going to work every day, especially days when we had meetings with him. We're going to take a break. I'm here today with kind of a bittersweet show. It won't be his last because we still will have many, many things to talk about. With Representative Smitty Pignatelli, who is stepping down from his seat in the legislature. He's been there a long time. He served with integrity and honesty and transparency and all the words that all of them say. Very few of them do. But we'll be right back. This is 89.7 WTBR FM on your radio dial and TBR. 1301 on Spectrum Cable. Now, I know some of you've let me know that you kind of find this offensive. I'm sorry. But this is my flag. And as I say every time, a lot of people that I know and a lot of friends are buried underneath it. Mm-hmm. At one point in time, a lot of us signed a dotted line that we would die for this flag in this country. So if you don't like it, you don't like me doing this, there's other things you can watch and listen to. And I don't say that to be a wise guy. That I'm very patriotic. And I'm sorry if that offends some people, but I've lived all over the world. And I can tell you this, every time I come back to American soil, I said, thanks be to God, I'm an American. We'll be right back. God bless. Hold on. And more to come with Representative Pignatelli. He's not getting off this easy. No. We'll talk to him. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR-FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available. Online at Sandrini.com.
The Berkshire's only rock station. 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. I'm honored today to have with me somebody that I've known for a long time, have the utmost respect for, and call a friend. He's been there for so many people, for us, for people that we know. His name is Smitty Pignatelli. He is stepping down. He said, and I made air, I in the beginning said he was retiring. He's not retiring. He's too young. He's stepping down from his job in the legislature, where he's been for a long time, and where he is a senior member and highly respected, because I've been down to Capitol Hill on a few times, and they say, you know Smitty? So there you go. How has politics changed since when you first started to today?
I think the media has altered the landscape of politics, but I don't think I'm that old, but I do remember when I was a kid, we had three news stations, ABC, yeah. NBC, and CBS, and we watched Walter Cronkite, and, you know, he would give us the news, but I really believe in hindsight that he trusted us to interpret the facts he was giving us and come to our own conclusion. Today, I think you pick your poison. You get told what to think on some of the news outlets on television today, and based on what your political philosophy is. But I like to hear all sides. You know, I tell my staff all the time, we got a call from a constituent that said this. But I says, remember, there's always two sides to a story, and the truth probably lies somewhere in the middle. Yeah. So get the other side of it and then form your own opinion and see what we can do to find a resolution. So the politics has changed because of the media, the 24/7 cycle, the social media. I mean, when I first got down there, we didn't even have laptops. You know, I remember being in what they called the bullpen. There was 24 in my freshman class. We're all assembled in one hearing room until offices freed up and we got allocated. So we were in the bullpen for probably 2, maybe 3 months. So there was 24 reps, 24 staff people, 2 computers. We actually had to sign up for computer time. We didn't have cell phones the way we have today. So we had our own phones, but we had to engage with people directly and more personally. And now it's become so much sterile. And I think that hasn't helped politics as well. And then the narrative that, you know, we had a president a couple of years ago that, you know, could say things about people with developmental disabilities, with people about with women. And I don't always have to like the president. I don't have to agree with the president, but I was raised in a family that respected the office. And I think the feeling was, if you're able to say that, then why can't I?
Right.
And I think that's the narrative that I've actually seen come down to the local level much quicker than I thought it would. Much quicker than I hoped it would, but it's here. And the lack of respect because we disagree on some things is sad. And like I say, I grew up, let's agree to disagree. Let's disagree without being disagreeable. I mean, those are the lessons that I grew up in. And, you know, my mom and dad, my mother hated politics because she saw the sacrifice that the family went through and what my dad went through. And my sister, my oldest sister, Donna, and I are the only ones of the five that actually got directly involved in politics, because my three other siblings saw the sacrifices that were being made. But we saw the goodness, too. And I think public service was not only encouraged in my family, it was expected. Whether you're elected or you're not, you get involved, do what you can to make your community, wherever you live, better.
Yeah.
My daughter lives in California now. She works in Hollywood. She's involved in her community because that's how she was brought up. I don't want her to run for public office necessarily unless she desired to, but I want you to do something to help other people. And I think that's what we're losing sight of. Public service is different than politics. And I've even seen some people get elected to the legislature that I'm saying, what lived or life experience do you really have to be in this position? I tell young people, get involved in your community, go experience life. And then when you're 30, 35 or 40, you can have some lived experiences. We vote on some very, very big issues in Boston, very important life-changing issues. And I can honestly tell you, Bill, I don't think there's been a vote that I've ever taken that I couldn't relate to something happened in my own life. You know, yeah. I'm a divorced man, so I can understand what that is. My daughter had a reading disability when she was younger. So when a parent calls me about the need of an IEP in our public schools, I can relate to that. You know, as you know, I lost both my parents 5 years ago, but finding elder care and keeping them in their home as long as possible, I can relate to that. You know, those are things, I mean, I've had, you know, members of my family who have had cancer. I can relate to that.
Yeah.
Those are lived experiences that you bring to the legislature. And if you lead with your heart more than your head, you will make better decisions because of that lived experience before you hit that button to vote, yes or no. So that's the pride that I have. I think we're losing sight of that a little bit politically. But I'm not giving up hope that we can recapture that. I'm the eternal optimist. And with me, the glass is always half full. Some days it's leaking, but it's always half full. And we need to have more of that.
I sometimes, a couple of things that just dovetail what you just said that I agree with. You know, if someone asked me now a few, maybe a year ago. So what kind of a Democrat are you? And I said, well, I'm a John F. Kennedy. Oh, you're a dinosaur. Okay. I mean, he started the Peace Corps. Yeah. The other piece is, too, that someone just the other day said to me, are you a D or are you an R? And I said, I'm an H. And I said, what the hell is an H? I said, I'm human.
Yeah.
I never forget. I fail. I've made mistakes. I've had some successes, but I've also had some failures. I think we're too harsh on people, politicians, elected. You know, every so often you read something, you know, they're on Marchetti for something, or they're on Tire, or you know, they're on you. I'm trying to live with it. I don't believe anybody intentionally is screwing up. Now, I've been told you're a little naive there, Bill. But, you know, yeah, there are people. There are dishonest people in every walk of life.
Yeah.
But I like to look. I'd rather see the sun than the darkness. That's
remember a couple of things, Bill. I, your audience is probably sick of me telling stories about my dad, but he was my greatest mentor. But he always told me, he says, if everything was unanimous, somebody's not doing their homework. And if you're being criticized, it's because you did something.
Yeah.
So it's easy to sit on the sidelines and cast aspersions towards elected officials.
That's right. Yes.
But they're in the arena. They're doing something. They're trying to make a difference. And let's agree to disagree. There's some people that are extreme left leaning, extreme right leaning. But I really believe that most of America is in the middle. And we can sway back and forth, you know, based on the issue at hand. I mean, Governor Baker, a few years ago, as a Republican, a moderate Republican, was the most popular governor in America. Because he rode the line down the middle and was swayed back and forth. There's some extreme left and right. I don't believe everybody is extreme left or right, but they're trying to get the other side back to the middle where most people are in this country. And I would even argue most people are in Berkshire County. So yeah. I'm so far left or so far right, but I'm trying to get you to think differently. So come back to the middle and we can have a conversation and then go your different direction if you want. You're just, it's polarized. And you've heard me say, you know, Sil Conti, Republican congressman from Berkshire County, Tip O'Neill, liberal Democrat congressman from Boston. They actually shared an apartment together for almost 11 years in Washington. Not many people know that, but they could duke it out on the floor, have their different political philosophies, and then go home and break bread and have dinner and joke about it in the apartment that they share. We need more of that for the greater good of America.
There, you hit the nail on the head, and I think it shouldn't be, are you a D or an R? It should be, are you an H? What's best for all of us?
That's right.
Well, Kennedy said, it's not a Democrat or a Republican, it's the right thing. I paraphrase, probably got it messed up.
Yeah.
But that's what he used to say. It isn't a Republican thing or a Democrat. It's doing the right thing. And right. I think a lot of that's been lost. It's gotten to be like a team sport.
Yeah.
You know, we can't let them win. Well, why? What they're driving is for all of us to be better.
Right. I watched some of those congressional hearings after the assassination attempt on the former president. And there again, Bill, I hold elected officials in high regard, even ones I don't care for or don't agree with. But I respected their desire to be there in the hourglass, looking at you.
Yeah.
But I saw how some of these Congress people, men and women, Democrats and Republicans, and their tone. It was about the soundbite. It was about the video clip, and some of the swear words that congressmen were saying when they didn't get the answer they liked. They said, "Oh, that's BS," but they didn't say BS. They used the phrase. And I said, wow, that's coming from an elected official of our federal government. On national television. I thought that was disingenuous, disrespectful. And there again, if he or she can do that, then why can't I say that to Bill Sturgeon on his radio show?
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I find disheartening in many ways.
You know, a long time ago when I started this, I started it to show, as I said, the good things and bring people like yourself, the lawmakers, so you hear it right from their mouths. But I also said with this, we can disagree, but I will not tolerate this being
disrespect.
Yeah. And I've had people on and people have said to me, I would have never thought you would have him on or her on. I said, this is Pittsfield Community Radio. This is Pittsfield Community Television. They're part of this community. Now, I may not agree with them. I may not have a beer with them. But they have a right to be on my show, and I have the duty to respect them.
And that's why we need to continue to support Pittsfield Community Television.
Yeah.
Community Television of the Southern Berkshires and the one in North Berkshire.
Yeah.
This is local. This is about the all politics of local. It's personal. These are people that we know. Where else are you going to get that local information if it's not for the PCTV, televising school committees, city councilors, boards of selectmen, planning board meetings? This is how you get that local news. And I think it's so critically important. And we should never take it for granted. And I sometimes get worried about our public access television because our cable companies, which are, you know, every time we pay a monthly bill, a portion of it goes to the PCTV, but more and more, especially younger people, are disconnecting from cable TV and streaming their services, which means it's taking money away from Pittsfield and Southern Berkshire Television. Right. So I think we need to, as a community, step up and continue to support these folks because of the information they're giving us, whether I agree with it or not, but I need to understand it and learn from it. And I think that's what they do great.
Well, and I will tell you, just to dovetail a little bit on that, when the bill comes in from Spectrum every month, we have a sit-down talk. Yeah, about it's gone up another $10. It's gone up this. It's gone up this package ended, so it's gone up. So I'm trying to I'm trying to keep my cable subscription going.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't want to put you on the spot. Do you have any plans when you retire or when you step down?
Well, as you know, I've taken on the interim town manager's job in my hometown of Lenox.
Yeah, I tried to call to give you counseling sessions, but you didn't answer.
Yeah, I wish I got your call. But that being said, no, I offered that there again to help out. The previous town manager was fantastic, left after 10 years great opportunity. So I offered to help out until they find a new person. So they went through the search. They got 44 applicants.
Wow.
We have a residency requirement, which was very problematic. And I think it dissuaded a lot of folks from applying because you can't find a house in Lenox you can afford.
Yeah.
So we're going to a town meeting next Tuesday to eliminate the residency requirement. We want whoever the next person is, he or she, to live in Berkshire County. But love to have you live in Lenox, but it's not required. I think that's going to change the narrative. So I've agreed to help out. I'd like to think that, you know, they would have somebody in place or at least a job offer by November or December. But I'm just there again, trying to help out my town the best way I can and just kind of maintain and pass the baton to the next person in a town that's in very great shape financially.
Yeah.
You know, well-maintained, investing in infrastructure. It's become an expensive town to live in from a real estate standpoint, but one of the best educational systems in Massachusetts, good infrastructure because of the investments we've made, and solid AAA bond rating financially. So I think it could be a very attractive job. So I offer to help out. But beyond that, you know, I want to do something. I actually need to do something because I'm not one of those guys that can sit home. But I've had a couple of offers from outfits out of Boston. But to be very honest with you and your audience, Bill, Lenox is my home. The Berkshires are my home. If I have to go to Boston a couple of days a week to do my job, that's one thing. But I want to be based in the Berkshires.
Yeah.
So I've cast a wide net because I want to do something, but I haven't landed any place yet.
Well, there's always an opportunity to volunteer to do radio programs.
Unlike you, I have a face for radio, and that's why radio might be better for me than television.
Yeah, well, I have to get my hair done every other week to make sure I don't shine. But thank you for those compliments about it is local radio. And you know, I have to say Sean and Dave Cachet and David Wyatt and Jeff and all the people, the Jody, that work at PCTV and the others, they put out great local programming. I mean, we now have Spanish-speaking programs. We have, you know, a classical. We have jazz. And we have talk. And my thing, and it's always been my thing, is get the people on and let the audience here, like you're forthcoming. Richie Neal, he's another one. Paul Mark, Barrett, TFB. You know, you're the people that are in the city councilors and the mayor.
Yeah,
that's who. During COVID, I'll say this: I'll have to put a gold star as the nuns used to do on our forehead. Well, PCTV kept the people up to date. The mayor was on once a week. I had the doctor on, the health department several times with a lit. Now, it's just 2 months ago. Somebody, yeah, you had them on, all right, and they gave us the wrong information. You're blaming me for that?
Yeah.
I'm not the Department of Public Health here, but you're right. We are, and we're local guys. I mean, I've had a great career. I've been in all over the world, but this is my home.
Right.
So I came back to what, you know, we basically could have lived anywhere. In fact, people in the Philippines wanted me to stay there. And I was astonished, to be honest, a little side note here, the number of people, what they call expats, that were in the military and stayed in the Philippines.
Yeah.
It's a nice place to live. Money goes a long way.
Yeah.
One last thing before we go. How this the immigrant crisis is, and now it's starting to get into the budget areas.
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of under a federal mandate, and we are a safe shelter state. We assured that. That was a law that was passed decades ago for our returning veterans.
Right.
You know, that we want to make sure that they had a safe, clean place to live. But now the migrant issue with the craziness in other states around the country, you know, we become the welcome mat. Unfortunately, our federal Congress is costing us about $1 billion a year. That's a lot of money. Our revenues have been somewhat suspect the last few months. And this is like an unfunded mandate from the federal government to take care of folks. If the federal government could ever get its act together and say, you know what, we have to help Massachusetts. Otherwise, this is $1 billion recurring expenditure year after year. You know, we're going to have some serious problems. As you know, Bill, we just passed a housing bond bill.
Yeah.
We have people who have lived here that can't find housing.
Right.
We need to pay attention to this thing. But if the federal government doesn't step up to help us, I think we're going to be in a real quandary financially in the years to come if we're not careful.
And I don't think it's just a Massachusetts problem.
Oh, no, definitely not. I mean,
think
New York's
every state.
New York's going through the same thing. Illinois, the same thing. I mean, the fact that you have an elected governor of a different state who is loading people on a plane to fly them to Massachusetts or bus them to Illinois, to Chicago or to New York City. That's just malicious intent from fellow public servants to disrupt your life. Get them out of my hair. Put them else in somebody else's problem. And I think that's wrong approach. And the federal government needs to recognize that and find a solution. Find a path to a solution.
I don't. You'll get no argument from me, and I don't see anybody working on the solution.
You don't hear people talking about it. All we talk about is the presidential election, but we're not talking about the day-to-day duties of what you're elected to do in the first place.
And you've lived it for all these years, and like you said, and I think it's so true. And I wish somebody would put it a plaque. If we do our job every day, we don't have to worry about the next election. And you know, it was like Tony's escape. I know him like I know my own name. But he used to say in the city council, do we need it or do we want it?
Right.
And I just think you just said it. There's just a lot of talk. But nobody's saying how. And I guess because of this awful boss that I had, I can't do that. It's okay to have a plan. Now, how are we going to implement the plan?
That's right. I want a new kitchen, Bill, but my roof is leaking. I need a new roof. I mean, this is how we got to analyze things, and which means you got to say no to people sometimes. I'm sorry, you can't get the new kitchen because we've got to fix the roof first. We got to fix the sewer line first before we pave the street. You know, those kind of things. So it's the infrastructure that we is kind of out of sight, out of mind, that if we don't pay attention to, I predict will could bankrupt some of our communities in the Commonwealth.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
You know, you go to the city's bill. It's vertical infrastructure. Mayors and city councilors brag about how many cranes are in the air.
Yeah.
Out in Western Massachusetts, it's the horizontal infrastructure. Yes. The roads, the bridges, the sewer, the water.
Yes.
That's where the money is. That's what we need to invest in. It's not really sexy, but it's definitely what we need more so than what we want.
Well, in closing, I want to say for so many people, really and truly, thank you for all your years and years of service.
Yeah.
And all the hours you put on the turnpike.
Yeah.
Every time I got to go to Boston to the doctor, I start dreading it the week before.
Yeah.
But you're a wonderful person, and you've done wonderful things, and yet you give credit to others, and that shows me the depth of your integrity.
Yeah.
And all I can tell you is thank you for all. And this isn't it, you know. I'm just giving you a forewarning. And just, you know, you may think that you're leaving public life, but I still will hunt you down.
I look forward to it.
Thank you for coming on. Thank you for all the years and all the service. And when it's time to walk out that door for the last time, do me a favor. Walk out with your head held high with a nice strut. You've earned it.
No issue with that at all. I'm very proud of my service, and that's exactly what we're going to do.
To Smitty and to all of my people, and I know it's upset some of you too, but I'm not going to stop doing it. They can kick me off the air. God, I believe this. God bless you all. And today, I try to make somebody laugh every day. But today, make somebody laugh and do something for somebody else. It'll make you feel so much better.
Right. Pay it forward.
Pay it forward. You're a good man. I don't care what other people say. You will be my friend till the end.
I love you, Bill. And keep up the good work. And we'll see you soon.
You're a man of integrity, honesty, and believability. And I'm honored and privileged to call you a friend. Be well, my friend. Say hi to the family for me.
I will. Thank you.
Bye-bye.